Two trucks having sex. Two trucks having sex. My muscles involuntarily flex. Two trucks having sex. Two trucks having sex. My muscles involuntarily flex. Two pickup trucks making love. American made.
Listen up, Auto Thoughts and Decepticlowns. You are listening to Prime Cuts, a nonlinear history of the Transformers franchise on television. I'm one of your hosts, Nero.
I'm your other host, Audrey.
And what a finale, huh? What a fucking ending they've cooked up for us here.
There's so much I want to say about these episodes, but I like also don't want to go too much into the bigger stuff because I still want to talk about stuff in the wrap up. Earthspark's good, folks.
Yeah, it's jumping up there in my personal ranking. I think it eclipsed Prime for me personally. Just like
it might be my favorite series.
It's really good. So today we are finishing season one of Earthspark with The Last Hope, the two-part finale. There's really nothing to do other than jump right into it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the entire setup of the last episode leads directly into this. Like, as Nero said last time, it's really a four-part episode. Mandroid's back, and yeah. He looks bad.
Yeah, last time we saw Mandroid, we were like, oh, that's a crazy new design. We didn't know how bad things really were. Because in this episode, we get to see more of the new Mandroid, which is to say less, which is to say he's a fucking head now. He's just a head.
I mean, it's more to that. This is, I will say, one of the most effective monster designs I've seen in, like, children's programming.
I don't want to know what's going on in there. There's some bad going on in there.
It is so genuinely unsettling. And in the back of your mind, there is still the idea that this guy used to be human at one point. So, like, that just makes it even worse. Like,
yeah.
The way it looks, the way it is animated, there is a point where he does some straight-up Slenderman shit,
mm-hmm.
And it's, like, everything about it is incredibly... Like, I think there's a point where, like, for a very brief moment, his arm is animated onto twos.
Yes, it is.
Instead, and it's, like, it's all designed to be incredibly unsettling, and it extremely is. Like, I, a grown-ass woman, felt unsettled watching this.
It's a creepy design. Like,
character.
Just, like, you just see the big robot and you're like, ah, he turned himself into a full Transformer. But no, it's like a meat aquarium in there that he's just kind of free-floating in.
Yeah, that's really what it is. Because he has all these portholes, basically. They're like eyeballs, but they're really portholes where he can, like, put his head anywhere around the body. It's bad. Like, it's bad.
Yeah, those little, like, domes you can put in, like, a koi pond for the koi to, like, get yeah. up and look at. That's what he has all over his new body.
Or, like, one of those dome backpacks for cats.
Yeah, he's in a big version of that. And immediately Croft is like, what the fuck happened, bro? You left yesterday.
Yeah, and he's like, interesting. It's been a year for
yeah.
me.
So he went off in the space bridge and he found some fucking Sharkticons, whose names are Blitzwave and Razorfin, which are likely names for Sharkticons to have. And he just offhandedly mentions that he liberated the Sharkticons planet from their oppressors, which I'd take to mean he visited Quintessa, right? Like, he encountered the Quintessons.
There is many things that suggest Quintessa in this episode.
So, like, number one, the Sharkticons, which, you know, historically have been heavily associated with the Quintessons.
They basically bat signal to Quintessa at the end.
Number two, Mandroid out of nowhere has a spear that seems custom made for fighting Cybertronians, which is the thing that perhaps the Quintessons would have use of, considering their history with them.
Yeah, and this is a small spoiler. in a very happy, otherwise happy moment, and, you know, they consider it happy at the end of these episodes, they basically bat signal Quintessa.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, if Mandred really did this show up on Quintessa and beat the shit out of the Quintessons, I feel like they're gonna come down here and not be too happy, looking for the guy who broke all their shit.
And also the Cybertronians, who they also hate.
Yeah, we don't know the history of the Quintessons and the Cybertronians in this universe, but in any part of the franchise, it's never good. They're never friendly.
Yeah.
Except in Shattered Glass, when they're all like hippies.
right. Except in the one explicit piece of media where everyone's personalities are reversed.
Yeah, they're all like weird hippies who do fucking acid and shit. Anyway, Mantroid, yeah, he introduces his new boys, and, you know, the Maltos are still there, and they stand against Mantroid, and Twitch says, "We're gonna stop you. Doesn't matter how freaky you've become, you can't hope to stand up against us." And Mantroid says, "That's interesting. Watch this.
Check this out." And then he slaps Shockwave in the tit.
And he dies.
And Shockwave dies from it.
Like, immediately, he just fucking... And remember, all of the other Autobots are completely inert now because of Croft's thing. So Shockwave
because of the
was
badge
the only one.
Inhibitor.
Shockwave was the only one still going on, and Mandroid just completely took him out without any effort.
Does he use his very bad-to-look-at arm to do this?
Yes, he uses
he
his...
He does.
He touches you with his long... He has got lamprey mouths on his arm.
Yes, so he has two, like, bulky arms, and then he has two, like, they almost look vestigial a little bit, but they're not. They're the worst thing about him.
Yeah.
Lampreys is a good word to describe both what they are, or I think of them as, like, tapeworms, almost. Yeah. Like, the way they move. They can expand outwards seemingly perpetually. I don't know that there is a limit on how far they can stretch, and they move not super smoothly. These are the things that get like animated onto two sometimes. It's bad to look at, and he just taps Shockwave right in the chest, and Shockwave goes down immediately.
Yeah, and he says, you know, Energon shutdown, it could be bad for a full-grown Cybertronian, but for you Terrans, it can be fatal. So, at this point, he makes it very clear. Mandroid only cares about getting Mo and Robbie's cyber sleeves. He only cares about getting Quintus Prime's power for something. He's straight up trying to kill the Terrans. He doesn't give a shit anymore.
Yeah. I mean, he's trying to kill basically everyone at this point, except for Mo and Robbie. And if he could get a way to get their arms off of them without killing them, or, you know,
just chop them off, just get a bone saw, and, you know, go to town.
Well, while keeping the powers intact, he would probably be just fine killing them as well.
That probably is the reason. You can't just lop them off.
Yeah.
So we enter a chase sequence here immediately.
This shit gets wild.
Yeah. So he sends the Sharktacons after the Maltos, who immediately fucking beat feet. And Croft comes up to Mandroid and says, "Hey, were you gonna tell me about this fucking, like, the side effects of this freaky badge controller thing?" And he was like, "Oh, that's fine."
That's a secret tool that'll come in handy later.
Why don't you come, I'll tell you everything. Just come hang out near the space bridge, okay? You gotta come to my club.
Agent Croft. Hey, I have a dark alley I'd like you to see.
Yeah,
Agent Croft.
Croft just goes like, "All right, great. Gotcha." So
I do kind of feel bad for her, I'm not gonna lie.
She gets out fucking class really
bad. She does. And she sucked, but like, oofa doofa.
She was not ready for this shit, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So pretty immediately, things go very badly.
Yeah. Alex and Doc get vored.
Yeah, they get eaten. And, you know, I immediately saw Razorfin's mouth was, like, glowing, so I figured, they got transported somewhere. I appreciate how long the show just lets that hang. Like, it does not show you the Maltos being alive until, like, the very end of the
literally
first episode.
Like, 15 minutes later.
Yeah, like, you can go for a long time without knowing whether most of the Maltos really are alive or dead, because things are about to go way worse here in a minute.
Right, they're not the only Maltos to get bored scene.
Dot and Alex get eaten by Razorfin. And by the way, these Sharktacons, they can fly.
Yeah, what the fuck is up with these guys?
They OP. Can fly. They have they're super tough. They have gigantic guns strapped to their backs. They don't seem to be Transformers. They seem to be.
They
mono.
Also don't seem to be quite that smart.
No, they're pretty dumb. The blue one is voiced by Nolan North, and the pink one is voiced by Steve Bloom. By the way,
incredible.
They both do
the graveliest voiced assholes on God's green earth.
Yeah, I definitely knew one of them was Nolan North. I could tell that Blitzwave was Nolan North, but I couldn't tell the other one there.
All we need is David Hayter in there to complete the trifecta.
So pretty quickly, they eat Dot and Alex, and very quickly they also take out three of the Terrans.
They chase all of the ground Terrans over a waterfall.
Yeah. Jawbreaker, Hashtag, and Thrash just fall down. It is not like a oh, that's probably fine to fall down for a Cybertronian waterfall. It's a pretty tall waterfall.
Yeah.
And then rocks fall on them.
In fact, the only thing that I am sad about these episodes is that we don't actually see what they get up to.
Yeah. At any point.
They
show up later. But yeah, no. So it is now just Twitch, Nightshade, Mo, and Robbie. And as we said, unfortunately, the fact that they're flyers makes no difference because these Sharktacons have jetpacks.
Before the Sharktacons catch up with them, though, we do get what I think has been one of the most realistic responses to your family dying.
Yes.
In children's media, where, like, Mo and Robbie in particular, like, Twitch and Nightshade are so, like, hyper-focused on getting them out of there that they don't register as much. But, like, there is a moment where they are flying, Twitch is carrying Robbie and Nightshade's carrying Mo, and Mo's just like breaks down crying. Yeah. And like Robbie is like right on the edge of doing it as well, and he's like trying to reassure her. It's like, well, you know, we don't, and she's like, they're gone. I can't believe they're all gone. And Robbie's like, well, we don't know that for sure. And Mo's like, do you believe that they survived that? And he just like can't answer. And yeah, there's this like, they
anything.
Are completely overcome with emotion, which is like particularly in the Transformers series, but in children's media in general, I feel like very little time is often given to characters who watch people die for them to actually like mourn for the most part.
And it happens again because they don't get any time to process those emotions, because guess what, these two fucking chuckleheads are still after them. And Mo and Robbie end up getting eaten.
Yeah, so they ground Nightshade and Twitch, and then it
goes without saying, all of the fight scenes in these two episodes are fucking insane.
Yeah. They ground Twitch and ground Twitch and Nightshade, and actually the four of them together hold off the Sharktacons pretty okay. Unfortunately, Meridian is still there.
Yeah.
And he uses his gross gangly arm to wrap around the kids. Like, I forget what he does to them. Oh, he sucks the juice out of their sleeves.
Yes, he sucks all the prime juice out of them.
Yeah.
And yeah, he sucks their energy out with his,
I hate
like,
this.
Weird... Yeah, and then he says,
I
you know,
I hate this.
He was saying, you know, just give me the children, I'll show them mercy. So he's got the kids, and Twitch and Nightshade are both down for the count, and he just turns to one of the Sharktacons and goes, "Why don't you show them? Show them some mercy?"
Yeah.
And so he just fucking dangles him over this guy's mouth and just drops him in.
I hate this guy.
What a piece of shit.
But you know who I love? Miss Twitch.
Yeah, this, if more than anything, these two episodes are Twitch episodes, because guess what?
And Nightshade.
Yeah, guess what? This is the last we see of Bo and Robbie until literally the last 5 minutes. They are taped to the wall for the rest of this two-parter.
Yeah. Nightshade and Twitch are obviously the MVPs of these two episodes. They are the perspective characters that we stay mm-hmm. with throughout the next 40 minutes or whatever. But they're also, like, Nightshade really, like, distinguishes themselves as, like, an MVP as a brawler. Yeah. I think they're probably the strongest fighter of the five of them, actually.
They can fucking mix it up. They got moves. It's all that Batman they've been watching.
You would think that it was Jawbreaker. But Jawbreaker only really does one thing, and he does it well. Like, it's a powerful move.
Yeah, no, Nightshade has style. Nightshade has, like, some fucking Bayonetta-ass moves.
It's not even just style. It's, like, inventiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, lowering machinery onto Alita One and crushing her to death.
Yes.
For example. And, like, I would probably put, like, hashtag and then Twitch as second and third.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyway, Twitch is not giving up.
Yeah, after getting blasted with after getting literally buried under rubble by the Sharktacons, literally just unloading their clips onto them. Twitch, not feeling great, shockingly, considering that she is under the impression that her whole family is dead other than Nightshade. But Nightshade is like, Nightshade is always like, we can't give up. You know, nothing is set in stone. We got to keep going. I'm putting my faith in you, Twitch. You're our leader. This is where it becomes very clear that Twitch is like the Terran leader.
Yes. This episode, I mean, listen, she's always been. She's mm-hmm. always been, like, she is such oldest daughter.
Yeah.
Complex stuff. She's always been in that role, but, like, these episodes make it extremely explicit.
So we cut down to, let's cut over to Ghost HQ, where Bumblebee and Schloeder are having some fun with the hologram projector, trying to prank some goids, I guess?
Oh, well, just before it cuts over, like, Twitch is, like, smirks and goes, I have an idea.
Yes. Yeah, that's true, because, yeah, so we see that. Schloeder, Bumblebee, and Breakdown are all in one cell. And yeah, they're playing Go Fish, and then Nightshade and Twitch bust in to the Decepticon prison and set everybody free.
Well, first they just set Bumblebee, Schloeder, and Breakdown free.
Yes.
And then Schloeder's like, okay, let's get out of here. And Twitch is like, we can't leave the Decepticons with mm-hmm. Ghost. And Schloeder's like, not an issue. Ghost is done. Fuck yeah. This shit. I'm out. And Twitch is like, well, that's great in theory, but we've already released all the Decepticons, so...
Yeah. So all of the Decepticons come out, and Twitch tries to get them to help. They are the only ones not wearing a ghost badge, still, like active. But...
To be fair, she is not... naive enough to think that they will all just do it out of, like, goodwill, yeah. To be fair, but she's like, hey, listen, this dude, first of all, he's the one who put you in here. Second of all, he's the one who stole your arms. Third of all, like, like, he has a machine that's gonna kill, like, or he has, like, a plan. I don't know what it is yet, but he has something that's going to kill, like, all Cybertronians. So, like, help us take us down. And they're like, no.
Yeah, they say you know, they say thank you for rescuing us, but this is not our fight. Breakdown is the one who has the last word, because B is like, no, Breakdown, my boyfriend.
How could you do this to me?
Yeah, and, you know, because Twitch is like, we have to protect our home, and Breakdown goes, this place has never really been that much of a home to us.
Good luck, brother.
Yep, everyone just leaves.
Brother. Yeah, quotation marks.
So we cut down to the super secret double basement where Croft is still under the impression that she is in charge, and he's like, all right, Mandroid, this fucking thing. Why is it giving me like frostbite, and why are there pink lines all over my face?
Yeah, why do I look like Nia Teplin? What's up?
And Meridian goes, oh, well, that's very simple, actually. I gave you Energon poisoning. And she goes, what? Why?
No, he doesn't say that. He says, it's like, oh, because it gave you control, but it also put a dose of Energon in you. And she said, you gave me Energon poisoning? And he said, no, I didn't poison you. I marked you for a much worse death.
So, yeah, they, the others have gotten down here this morning. By the way, Schloeder says, you know, just call me John to
right.
Bumblebee, which is a very, I like, man, I really like Schloeder in these episodes.
He's so good. He and like Alex got way more character development than I thought like these characters would get. And that's sort of like
these two fucking goofball ass dudes suddenly become like super important and fun and deep characters.
And that's sort of like the fun of like Earthspark is that like there are a bunch of characters that are like one off or whatever that don't really get named, but basically every named character gets some like no named characters there just as like a bit.
Yeah,
all of the named characters have like real purpose, and John is a great character. I felt so bad for him in these episodes.
Yeah,
holy shit!
So they get down there just in time to watch what happens to Croft, because Mandroid decides he's going to test out his weapon. By the way, here's another weird thing. Why is there a weapon that can like destroy Energon based life forms just on Earth? Because he says that the ghost space was built on top of it without anybody knowing. They didn't do it on purpose.
So here's my theory about it.
Put that there.
My theory about it is that
Quintessence.
It was. So first of all, there's all these things that are underneath the bit, like the Dweller was underneath.
Yeah, there's like, what the hell's going on down there?
So I think that whoever found it, I think that we're going to, I don't think Croft is the top of Ghost.
You think there's like, you think this is like a Patriot situation where it just goes back further and further?
Yes.
Interesting.
And, or if she is the top of Ghost now, then she wasn't always the top of Ghost.
Yeah.
And I think that these, like, frankly, Quintesson threats.
Yeah, it really seems super Quintesson coded, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what they are. Let's call a spade a spade. These Quintesson threats were probably discovered by someone else a long time ago, and that's specifically why they chose to place Ghost Base there. And then she was just not informed.
Yeah, I wonder if there's like a second level, because like she's not like Commander Croft or whatever. She's just Agent Croft. So
that's my guess.
It's there's a lot of unanswered questions about Ghost, about Quintus Prime's history with Earth.
And my guess, is that the Ghost base goes back before the Cybertronians got to Earth.
Hang on, I need to look up Ghost's logo real quick. Hang on.
You think it's Hydra?
No, I think.
Or sorry, Cobra.
I think it. No, it's definitely not. It's definitely not Cobra. I just need to look to see. It's definitely a face. I don't know.
Oh, you think it's Quintus?
I think it's Quintesson's shit. I think maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of abstracted, but it could be. You know. Because, yeah, those helmets have always looked very strange and very evil, even before Ghost was, like, explicitly super evil.
I think this Quintesson stuff has been on Earth for, like, centuries.
Oh, yeah.
Millennia. Millennia. And that it was discovered, probably, fuck it. They'd love to do it during the Cold War, so let's say somewhere between the 60s to 80s.
Yeah.
And that Ghost was started, whether it was under the same name or a different name, who knows? But some organization was started here because they recognized that whatever these artifacts were a threat. and to prepare to deal with that if it ever came to the surface, and then the Cybertronians appeared here. So that is my theory.
Well, anyway, Croft dies badly.
We're going to try to describe it, but, like, this is indescribably awful to watch.
Okay, so Mandroid turns this thing on. This scene it could be described as she gets vaporized. That is not adequately descriptive of what happens.
She looks into the Ark of the Covenant. This is literally the end of, like, Indiana Jones.
It's crazy.
The Raiders of the Lost Ark.
So, yeah, she gets, like, these tendrils of energy seek her out and start, like, shocking her.
When Mandroid said that he marked her, it is because this weapon particularly targets anything that runs on Energon.
Yep, and lucky you, Croft, you're the test subject. All that time spent giving Mandroid resources and planning to purge the Cybertronian threat from your world, this is your reward. This thing basically burns her from the inside out, and the shot of her, like, the energy shooting out of her eyes and mouth as she disintegrates is crazy.
It is, like, it is really, really indescribable. Like, you need to watch it. Like, look up her death on YouTube. That's really the only way you're going to, like...
It lasts, like, 10 seconds. It lasts so long.
Understand how awful this is. I've seen less graphic deaths in the horror movies. I've watched all the Saw movies. There are less graphic deaths in there.
There's only one other, like, children's show that I've seen that has anything that comes close to this. And that's Infinity Train. There are two deaths in Infinity
Which
Train.
Which is, I would say, debatably. It's a children's show for a different age group of children.
It is. I think the creator described it as Saw for tweens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, there's some fucked up deaths in that one. I'm specifically thinking of the one at the very end of book 3. I'm not going to say what it is, because you should just watch Infinity Train.
Yeah.
And the Infinity- one... The thing, I forget what episode it is, but it's in book 2.
Infinity Train is much more geared towards, like, the 13 to 17 year old age group, I would say.
Mm-hmm. It's great. So yeah, Croft dies badly, and Schloeder is there to see all of it.
This is, like, a really emotional scene.
He's really fucked up about this, because, you know, she might have been evil or whatever, but, like,
that's
fuck.
His sister, man.
That's his sister. And, like, he's about ready to run in there, and Twitch, like, literally, like, yanks him down and restrains him bodily. He's like, listen to me. I get it. I understand. But you cannot run in there. Right? We need a plan.
And the combination of animation on John and voice acting work from this mm-hmm. point forward is, like, a complete 180 to his character beforehand. Like... This is a man on a mission now, and there's nothing being played for laughs about him or his character at this point. So he like agrees, and he goes, "Fine, I'm listening to your plan." But you can there's like this steel in his eyes, like, you know, it's he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. So, Twitch is gonna use the hologram projector. They're gonna do the old shadow clone jutsu technique here. With a Nightshade. And it really is Shadow Clones, because all of these holograms have, like, they are not insubstantial. They can attack, and they can be hit.
Yeah. I mean...
Tarantulas, what are you cooking over there?
I'm not sure how substantial they are.
That's true. They don't seem to, like... But, like, the Sharktacons, like, punch them. And it
right,
makes,
but
like,
they, like, dissolve.
Noise. That's true. They do eventually dissolve. So they're probably about as substantial as Shadow Clones, they can attack, but if you hit them, they disappear. So anyway, Schloeder runs in before...
Like, she Twitch does a gay done. Little dance that pisses them off.
Yes, so Schloeder runs in before they're finished explaining this plan. So they just, you know, they gotta improvise here. And yeah, this plan does work. The goal is they're trying to get the spear away from Mandroid, because the spear is what they think is like, if we get the spear, it'll be fine. He can't do anything. We'll see how well that goes in a moment here.
Yeah, I can't remember.
So they're trying to get the so the way it goes, Bumblebee is trying to reprogram the space bridge to like get them an escape route.
Yeah, as soon as he does, by the way, like Mandroid Salad Fingers his way over to him.
Yeah, this, the like, way the, he moves,
the worst bit of animation I think in these two episodes to watch is him just moving,
schlorps on over there.
It's like 1 to 2 seconds max of him moving, but the way they did it is extremely distressing.
Yeah, he just
very salad fingers.
Does he eat Bumblebee's face with his weird lamprey hands? I swear he does that to somebody.
I can't remember. I was honestly too disturbed by how he was moving to pay attention for like the next 5 seconds.
Yeah, so Bumblebee sets a space bridge, and Nightshade, quote unquote Nightshade, tries to go in for the spear, but Mandroid does some fucking... He has been practicing with this spear, by the way. He's got some sweet moves. He's doing, like, fucking spins with it and everything. That's what he was doing. He actually built this body in, like, 6 months, and the rest of that time was just him practicing how to do that one cool trick with the spear.
Right. Yeah, one more month was set freeing the Sharktacons.
Yeah, he got that shit done. Oh, by the way, there's a good bit here earlier.
Very stupid.
When he's explaining the machine to Croft, or maybe it's right after he fucking blows her up.
It's after he blows her off.
Yeah,
because it's when he's saying if that did it, that was just on her. Imagine what this will do to everyone based in Energon. It will kill every Energon based organism on this planet. And they're like, except for us, right, boss? And he's like,
yeah, yes. Except for you guys, idiots. But yeah, he stabs Nightshade, but surprise, it's not Nightshade. It was Schloeder wearing the hologram projector, and he has grabbed the spear, and he's holding his gun directly at Mandroid's head, and he goes, "This is for my sister," and just fucking shoots him.
I kind of want to kiss John Schloeder.
So they take the spear, and everyone gets out of there. And right as they're leaving, right as she's about to go through the space bridge, Twitch looks down.
Twitch is like cleaning up. Like she's in the leader mode, so she's like, "Everyone, go, 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 go!" And everyone goes through the portal, and she's cleaning up and about to close it. And she sees that Mandroid just sort of like looks at her and smiles and gives her a wave as she carries the spear off. Yeah. And she's like, "Uh-oh."
looking strangely unperturbed. It's like, "Wow, we got his spear. Surely that means we have crippled his effort." And then he's looking up at her like, "Hee hee."
And she looks down and she sees all of the Maltos.
Yeah, they're all strapped to the wall in weird fucking bubbles, and yeah, she's like, "Oh, fuck, no, wait, and just, you know, flies through the space bridge.
Yeah, her momentum is too great to stop at that point.
Yep. But don't worry, it won't take long for her to figure out where they are, because directly after that...
Yeah, in the second part of this two-parter.
Yeah, so the first episode ends, so B blows up the space bridge on the other side. And, you know, Twitch is like, "Oh my god, I saw them. They're alive. Robbie is alive. Mom and Dad are alive. Moe's alive. They're all alive." And so they're trying to formulate a rescue plan. But, you know, Mandroid's a very helpful guy, all things considered, because he shows them very clearly where everyone is by causing the space bridge to sprout out of the ground on top of a giant evil mountain.
It's really kind of him.
It has a throne. He put a throne
on there. It sure does. Now, again, unclear if he put it there, if his predecessors at...
Was it already in there? Did he have to spend some time carving that into the bedrock?
Yeah, if his predecessors at Ghost put it there, or if the Quintessence put it there.
I like to think he had the Sharktacons carve it up real quick. So, yeah, Last Hope Part 2. It's not looking great. Our heroic forces are Bumblebee, Twitch, Nightshade, and Schloeder, and that's it.
But it's fine. All hope's not given up yet. they can at least they know where to go now, right?
Yeah, they just go up there. Just go to the big evil tower.
And there's no one that can stop them, right? Oh wait, there's all the Autobots who are brainwashed.
Yeah, so he Mandroid sets the Sharktacons to guard duty, and then he picks up the badge control thing that, you know, kind of he dusts some Croft dust off of it, some ash off of it, and presses the button, and all of the dormant Autobots wake up, and they have blank white eyes.
One question I have is why he didn't also die from the Energon thing.
Well, it was targeted at Croft, because the Sharktacons were also unaffected.
But what about later?
Oh, he does die.
Well, yeah, but not from that.
I mean, he does, though. He does die from the effects of his own weapon.
Does he? I thought it was from getting his ass beat.
Potato, potato.
I don't think it is.
But... The Autobots are now moving in, all of these mind control Autobots, and the first two. Now this is interesting. So did you notice the setting for this first fight?
The training grounds.
Well, it's a train yard. This is from the very first episode, the very first scene where Optimus and Alita fight Swindle and Hardtop.
Oh.
Same
anyway.
Place with all the storage containers.
Optimus T-Bones Bumblebee.
Yeah, just fucking rams right into him. So
it's literally nothing bad ever happens to the Kennedys.
So we've got some real bad news, because, you know, we spent all this show going like, wow, Alita One's so cool and badass, Optimus is so cool. What if you had to fight them, though? What if they were trying to kill you? Turns out that's really bad. That's very scary to happen to you.
Yeah. This is just like a nuts fight scene.
It's so good.
MVP, like, there's no way for us to describe it. Nero, I don't know if there's any particular highlights that you want to talk about.
I mean, Optimus just does some cool fucking, like, axe tricks like he always does. You know, always good, yummy to have the like emotional distress of having to fight your guy.
Yeah, he takes out two axes at one point.
He does. They steal his axe, and then he has two secret throwing axes in his arms. What the fuck?
Nightshade is absolutely the MVP in this fight. They are both extremely strong and extremely smart. I mean, trying to describe this fight scene in words just doesn't do it justice. Again, I really recommend you looking this up on YouTube. They do eventually figure out, Twitch is like, oh, wait, the sphere. Yeah, we can use that to shut them down.
Yeah.
And then Nightshade kills Alita.
Yeah, they stab Alita One. And after Nightshade drops a crane on her.
Yeah, no, that, so Nightshade drops a crane on her, and then she's about to get up, and then they land on top of the crane and, like, crush her to the ground, and then they stab her in the back. It's kind of brutal.
And they go, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because they're still very polite.
Meanwhile, Bumblebee is fighting Prime and not winning, losing quite badly. Because it's Optimus Prime. And he's about to fucking finish the job here, but this is when the other three Terrans reappear and put him down.
The only thing I want to mention about the other three Terrans is that, you know, it's sort of like, so Thrash is the one who, like, actually gets Optimus off of Bumblebee with his classic trick wheel throw. The wheel discus throw, the only thing he does, but he's good at it, so good job, Thrash. And then Jawbreaker immediately follows up by headbutting him away. Again, only thing he does, but he's good at it, it's great. But then my favorite part is like Optimus gets up and Hashtag's just standing there, and she like puts
she
a finger to her
on her fryer face.
Yeah, she like puts a finger to her temple and smirks, and then he gets slammed by a train.
He just gets hit by a train.
I love her.
Yeah, so they put these two down. They get filled in about the situation. It's like, we need to rescue our family. They're still alive, and we need to shut down that weapon, because if we don't, you know, it could put everyone on every Cybertronian on the planet at risk. So it's time. They, you know, they're on this big bridge, right? It's a battle on a big bridge, and they're going over the bridge, and oh dear. There's RC and Wheeljack on one end and Grimlock on the other end.
That's yeah, bad. So like first RC and Wheeljack show up and Bumblebee's like, "How are you guys doing? Your eyes look so brainwashed."
Yeah.
And they're like, "We could," and like, you know, John gets out as well and they're like, "We can do this, we can take this," and yeah, then Grimlock shows up on the other yeah. side and Bumblebee's like, "Shit."
Yeah, so Bumblebee and Schroeder are staying behind to fight RC, Wheeljack, and Grimlock.
Good luck, bestie.
Good luck, you two. The rest of the Terrans go off to try and get to the Spire, but they are attacked by the Sharktacons. So yeah, just not going great. Just, you know, the numbers game is not adding up for our heroes here.
Oh, I do want to mention that before they do this, the thing that sort of cements Twitch as the leader here is she gives a very inspiring speech.
Mm-hmm.
And she like flies up and she has her swords in her hands. It's so cute. I love her so much.
Yes.
And she basically says exactly this, and she's like, "Listen, the numbers are against us. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Like, there's a very small chance of us defeating Mandroid, but we got to try. Like, that's her family up there.
We're the last hope. We're the name of the episode, guys. Come on.
Help me, Obi-Wan, whoever the fuck you are."
So at this point the Terrans split up. So Nightshade, Jawbreaker, and Hashtag fight the Sharktacons, while Thrash and Twitch go up to fight Mandroid, which I like. We got our two originals here at the final battle.
And specifically, interestingly, Twitch has chosen to distract Mandroid, because I find it interesting that this is how they divided it, given that she's the one who can fly, but whatever. She's distracting Mandroid while Thrash is making his way up the mountain to free the Maltos from their fishbowl prisons.
Yeah. And Mandroid very quickly realizes what's going on, and he says,
Well, he only does just because Thrash messes up and accidentally kicks some rocks over.
He looks at the rocks, he looks up, he's like, "Oh, I see what's happening here. Hey, annoying little red thing. Have you considered this?" And he presses the Energon symbol button. And yeah, there was one Autobot missing, wasn't there?
Well, not an Autobot.
Perhaps not an Autobot. Perhaps
one ghost agent.
Perhaps Megatron was missing, and he entered.
Daddy Longdick just landed in LA.
He's framed in, because so like the space bridge kind of has this half moon esque thing going here, like a crescent moon shape, and he is framed against the moon with the space bridge like in front of it, flying in and just, you know, transforming and landing in front of Twitch. And then you go, "Wow, he's very large compared to her. This isn't gonna go well."
Yeah,
man.
This is a hard scene as a Twitch lover. This is a hard scene to watch. She's so genuinely scared.
Yeah, and this sad, is her boy.
But mostly this scared.
This is her fucking boy. This is Megatron. Little bird.
And he is chasing her throughout the skies.
There's a really good, before that, so Twitch is like just pleading with Megatron to fight. It's like, "You're the strongest one of us. You have to fight against Mandroid." And he is literally just fusion cannon point blank at her face. And nothing is happening. And then Thrash screams at her to fly because she is just completely frozen from fear.
Yeah. And, That fully gives Thrash's position away. So Mandroid's like, "Bet," and like climbs up the wall to get him, while Twitch narrowly avoids getting point blank fusion cannoned, and she flies off, and so does Megatron, and he is just following her with a volley of missiles.
He has so many missiles inside of him. He has more missiles than you expect, and I already expected a fair amount.
Patting Megatron's chassis, this bad boy can hold so many missiles. It is dire. And every time, Twitch like turns around or like tries to stop and like reason with Megatron, you think it's going to be the moment where he like manages to like fight the brainwashing and like come back to himself. But no, what happens instead is, she is saved by a blue, white, and red missile painted with a menacing grin on it, that slams into Megatron instead.
Of course he paints his missiles with fucking gay little faces.
I thought it was so cute. Starscream's here, and so are Nova Storm and Skywarp.
God, and it's so good, because he shows up, he's ready to look cool and, like, say, you know, say some badass lines against Megatron. He's like, I heard about, and then Twitch just immediately flies forward and hugs him. He's like, thank you.
And he's like, oh my god, great. Yes, you're welcome. Please stop touching me.
Please, you're making me look good. You're trying to look fucking badass and like cool here. Stop hugging me. He's like, yeah, so you know, after she freed the Decepticons, they basically told everyone, hey, Twitch Malto is a real one. And yeah, all of the Decepticons except for Tarantulas have shown up to help against the Sharktacons and Mandroid here.
The others get there pretty quickly. Starscream's like, so we heard your call. It's like you saved our lives, so we are here returning the favor. Also, I get to punch my abuser in the face. So cracking my knuckles.
Always, anytime I get an excuse to fucking throw it out with Megatron, I'm ready to go. So the Seekers fight Megatron. We have, by the way, Hardtop still has one arm. I don't know,
but he's making great use of it.
He is. So is it, and of course, Breakdown shows up to help Bumblebee, and we get a good ass moment with them.
And the Insecticons are supporting Hardtop. Yes.
Yeah,
and Swindle.
I really love Breakdown and Bumblebee. That's what I want more of in season 2. Give me more of those two. They're so good.
I mean, I want more of like the former Decepticons in general. I think that like the way that this season ends would be like there's so much opportunity for like peace amongst all parties.
Yeah, just like hanging out, trying to figure it out. It'll be like Rid, you know? And I like Rid. The comic, not either of the shows.
I was about to say, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, the ongoing comic from IDW. Not there's a lot of things called Robots in Disguise. There's a lot of them. Thrash, meanwhile, is fighting Mandroid, and doing he's putting in a good ass performance. He's really taking my like Thrash ain't nothing special comments from a few episodes ago, and like really. Really showing me that I've been sleeping on him a little bit.
Unfortunately, it doesn't really matter because it turns out
I just want to shout out some lines like you are so focused, you've lost sight of what you're fighting for, and you've twisted yourself into this fucking horrible monstrosity.
Yeah,
like you're just full of anger and hate now, and like what have you done? Mandroid says, actually, this is epic. Actually, I love this.
Actually, one of the best line deliveries in the episode, in my opinion, in both of the episodes, in my opinion, is as Thrash is fighting him going, you've lost your mind.
Yes, you've lost your mind.
He's like, what is, verbatim, as he like, dodges, like, you out of your mind.
Brother, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And Thrash, we have a whole season of this podcast getting into that. But yeah, unfortunately, it really doesn't work very well, because as it turns out, he didn't need the spear to activate the weapon. Because he just sits down on the throne and he says, the age of Transformers. First, Twitch returns since Megatron is in good hands. She returns, they beat the shit out of Mandroid, and he says, I don't lose, actually, and he activates the space bridge weapon, and right before it goes off, Thrash tackles Twitch to the ground.
Yeah. And then it's lights out for everyone. You see wave circle out into Witwicky. It takes out Thrash first, of course. And then it takes out the rest of the Terrans, except for Twitch, who is covered by Thrash on the ground. And then it takes out Megatron and the Seekers. And then it goes over to the bridge and takes out Bumblebee and RC and Wheeljack. And
everybody dies.
And Grimlock. And then it gets back to the Malto home where, like, Shockwave dies again.
Yeah. He just falls over again. Yeah, so everyone's dead.
Everyone and then you see it encompass dead. The entire Earth.
And we see... So Mandroid... The reason I think it's the weapon is we see Mandroid, after the weapon fires, leaning against his throne, laughing that the Age of Transformers has finally come to an end. And then his body starts, like, bubbling.
Oh.
Did you notice this?
I didn't, no. So you're probably right.
His arms start bubbling and kind of melting, so I think he's dying from the effects of his own.
You
which
know,
makes you wonder if he's restored at the end by what happens here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I do kind of admire in a weird way, like Meridian for at least sticking to his guns. Like he's an evil person and he had an evil plan, but he saw it through and he was happy to die on the other side of it.
Goal oriented, he knew what he was getting into.
You know. It always, like, bothered... I kind of hate the trope of, like, the villain being like, I never thought they would bite my face off.
Yeah.
Says the woman who voted for
exactly.
The leopard biting people faces
like, oh
off.
Oh my god, I hoisted by my own petard, but Mandroid Beneath is going like, I am going to hoist myself so fucking hard, and it's gonna rule. Because
yeah.
All the other guys are also gonna get hoisted. Fuck
right.
Them.
So, you know, like... He sucks, but at least he, like, stuck to his guns.
I'm always a fan of villains who are... When I say principled, I don't mean they have good principles. What I mean is
yeah.
I enjoy villains who stick by their beliefs and
exactly.
ideals.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean.
And so, yes, he's over there turning into a puddle. The rest of the Maltos wake up, including Twitch, who rolls her brother's corpse off of the top of her. And she has one of her eyes is like shut down. She's she just completely breaks down.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody does as they look out and just see everything is shut down.
Luckily, so the Maltos wake up right after this weapon goes off. And
yeah.
they're like stuck in these like fish bowls that are holding their heads and they're able to just pop right out of them. And they see that everything is just, like, destroyed, and they're like, oh, shit. And Twitch is, like, non-responsive. But luckily, Robbie and Mo look down, and their sleeves are glowing.
Yeah, so they say, okay, I think I know how to fix this. And they go and sit on the Mandroid's big throne and link their cyber sleeves together in order to broadcast this healing wave across the entire planet. And by the did you hear about this? Apparently, this was animated. This whole sequence here of them like restoring everyone was animated to sync up to the touch. They wanted to get
was
the
it really?
Yes, they could not get it. But the song that they play is very much like royalty free version of the touch, right? Like, the people have synced it up, and I couldn't find a clip. On short notice, I'll have to scroll through the crazy ass moments in Transformers history Twitter, because that's where I saw it. But yeah, this was supposed to be set to the touch. They just couldn't get the rights ultimately.
Oh my god, that's nuts! I can't believe they didn't get the rights though. That's really funny, actually.
It must be some fucking record company, because I know if Stan Bush had the rights to that, he would let them use that shit.
Yeah,
of course. He loves letting people use the touch.
So here's the interesting thing. So, like, you see the wave sort of happen and everyone wake up. The last one, however, to really get affected by it is Thrash. And here's a theory I have. That this is the reason he didn't get as much development in earlier episodes, because he is going to be actually changed by this afterwards.
Oh,
because his reaction is different. He has, like, a whole Disney, like, Swan Princess Disney transformation moment, like of the beast turning into the prince again or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where he is, like, bodily lifted off the ground. He floats in the air and, like, has his little Jesus resurrection moment. And I think this... True. This is the reason... None of the others have that. The others just wake up.
Yeah, Shockwave just, like, looks up, and then he looks down, and there's a cow licking his hand.
Yeah. Fluffy Ears.
Yes, Fluffy Ears is licking Shockwave. Yeah, you're right. He does, like, levitate off the ground.
Yeah, like, his waking up is notably different than everyone else's. And I think, like, my working theory now is that he got less development throughout this season because he's going to become way more important in the next season based on whatever effects he came back right.
Yeah, so, you know, we get the Quintus Prime appears. He says his thing. He says Legacy of Hope. And there's, like, a Terran symbol that appears in the sky that's, like, Quintus Prime's kind of insignia.
Yeah.
Which and is they all very nice.
They all see the insignia and they're like, this is good. This is Quintus Prime blessing us. And I'm like, that's a bat signal.
Yeah.
You have been marked.
Look, like I said, there's nothing so far to suggest that Quintus is anything but a force for good. All I'm saying is that I know what Quintus Prime gets up to in other continuities and what he's responsible for and what his general philosophy is.
I
don't know.
I think Quintus Prime is going to be a bit different. Like, I think Quintus Prime is not going to be a bad...
No, I think...
bad guy, but, like, his creations... There's no way we're not seeing the Quintessons at this point. I'm sorry.
Absolutely,
like, this is
absolutely not.
Like, everything here has been building up to the Quintessons being, if not the final big bad in this series, then certainly the next one. But, like, I would guess that they're going to be the final big bad.
Yeah, like, if you don't involve Quintus Prime this directly in anything and not have the guys. You know, I think Quintus Prime is evil. I always, like I said, I think Quintus Prime is someone who just...
I think, like, he's immoral. Amoral.
He just has a different morality, right? Like, he doesn't really think, you know, like,
he has a Princess Bubblegum-ass morality.
He does. The Covenant of Primates says that he believes life is sacred in all its forms and should be allowed to, like, prosper no matter what, right? No matter the cost. That is his modus operandi, which is why, like, yeah, he made the Quintessons, but he's not gonna smite them or whatever. He doesn't believe in that shit. Like, I bet if, like, Prima made some fucked up guys, he would kill them, but not Quintus.
He's like, it's ableist to ask the Quintessons to not kill everyone around them.
Yeah, it's like, that's just what they do, man. You know, I'm not, you know, they're living their own lives. I can't do anything here. It's like, brother, they enslaved half the galaxy. It's like, well, they're
again,
alive, aren't they?
They're neurodivergent and minors.
So, yeah, we end with all of the Terrans looking out over the sunset, and we see Enmo and Robbie say, you know, I think I really like this place.
Fuck, man.
It's pretty good. I want to give me the season 2 right now. Give me it now.
We are going to need season 2 of this show so badly after what we have planned coming up.
No. Yeah, you want to hear about it for a little bit, but just apologies in advance. I've decided to hurt you all.
I mean, that is enough of a hint also. Yeah,
there's only a few things that could pertain to. There's a real process of elimination that you can go through there.
Yeah.
So just figure it out for yourselves, you know?
It's the Machina series! No, I'm kidding.
It's, God, no. At least that would be short, you know? At least that would be, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah, the Machinima series, rather. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing that.
Even too low, even for us. Like we said, this is a televised history of Transformers. That's not TV. That's fucking web series shit. That doesn't count. Anyway, this is not about the Prime Wars trilogy. This is about Earthspark, which whips ass, and this is a cool finale. And I want more, because now it's like, all of the juicy character bits that I want are just dangling in front of me. Like, we see We see Starscream and Megatron like waking up facing each other because they both fell out of the sky. We see Shockwave chilling at the Malto's farm.
All I could think of when Starscream and Megatron woke up was Party Rock is in the house tonight. It's Party Rock is.
Oh, boy. Well, we've got some fucking questions, unsurprisingly.
Yeah.
Let me check the Twitter.
I don't think we have any on Twitter.
I believe you are right. You are indeed correct.
So hooray. Get
us through the Discord.
Discord. Aurora Earthspark asks, any random hopes slash predictions for season two? Biggest one is what I just said at the end there about Thrash.
Thrash is going to have something different about him. He's, I think the Quintessons are basically a lock. I think we're going to get some combiner stuff. I think the Enigma is going to show up and we're going to get a Multobots combiner.
Yeah, that's the other thing I wanted to say. Multobot Gestalt.
Because, like, in that big the lineup of all the primes, there's only, like, three or four artifacts that are really clearly outlined, and that's one of them. So, you know, I feel like it would be a missed opportunity.
Also, now that, like, the Ember Stone is back in play again, I think it'd be interesting to get more new characters and ones that, like, not necessarily wanted to be with the Maltos.
Yeah, what if just some other Terran showed up?
You know? Yeah. And,
some more Decepticon-aligned Terrans.
Exactly. Like and I want to see what happens with the sort of remains of Ghost.
Yeah, I want to know if there's, like, a secret Ghost history. If there's, like, some fucking...
I think there is. I think
shit. Yeah.
I think that it is heavily implied at this point that there is.
I don't think Ghost was founded in, like, 1990 or whatever. I think that as an organization, it has deeper roots.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, like, straight up Illuminati shit, honestly.
Oh, man.
From Short Scream, Chet. What kind of things do you think happened during Mandroid's big time space adventure? Do you think the Quintessons could be connected somehow?
Well, like yeah, I mean, said,
yes, literally.
He was practicing those spear tricks is what he was doing, mostly.
I mean, he liberated the Sharktacons from someone, presumably them.
Yeah, like, he definitely did that scene from Transformers the movie to the Quintessons. And as we know from G1 Season 3, that don't mean shit to them. They're just going to keep, you know, doing their little machinations. So, yeah, I'm sure that the big Quintus Prime flare that just went up over Earth is going to escape their notice, and they're not going to go right towards it.
Yeah. Nero from Disney Minus asks, you've answered how to give yourself hope at the end of the world and how to give yourself despair at the beginning of the world, but how do you give yourself melancholy at the middle of the world? I tend to avoid melancholy, personally.
Open and scroll through Twitter.
Also that. Work a 9-to-5.
Yeah, like, just live your life. You get a hefty dose of it.
Bold words from someone who just started a new job and actually loves it, so, but...
God, I wish that was me.
Yeah, really? Putting that energy out there for everyone. I realized recently I don't hate working, I've just hated everywhere I worked at before.
There you go.
Slipstream Sam asks, if Earthspark is so good, why hasn't it made an Earth Flame yet? Unappreciated in its time.
Yeah, it's real sad.
On a more serious note, if you were in charge of making next TF show after this one, how would you either follow up or pivot from Earthspark? That's really hard.
That is really hard, because this is such a different one.
And also, it's so good. Like, the pressure to do something that's anywhere, like, near as good as Earthspark is, like, immense.
Like, we've talked about the setups we want to see from stuff before, right? Like, I don't know, I guess...
I mean, I would say the same stays thing as usual. I'd want to do a post-war... I would want to do stage two of the IDW comics.
Post-war political thriller fucking... Cybertron. Give me Cybertron Succession.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're good. But, like, they're not going to make that. Because no child's going to want to watch that shit. I'll watch it, though. That's what the Netflix show should have been. Fuck that shit.
Honestly. Oh, my God. Like, a Netflix adaptation of, like, part two of the IDW comics, both of them, would be so sick. And it would do numbers. Netflix, hire us.
I really got to read the Skybound stuff. I've been seeing more and more of that. And it's like,
I know.
It seems like they're kind of cooking over there.
Yeah.
The art is amazing. Holy
shit. Yeah, God. I have to read the Skybound stuff too. Okay, Chet asks, having seen all of Earthspark season 1, where does it rank alongside all the other shows you watched on the podcast so far? We're going to talk about this more on the wrap-up episode. Yeah. But I will say shortly, highly. I will say shortly that I think it might be my favorite, actually.
It's really good. And, like, it's also the one we watched almost completely blind.
Yeah.
Which is basically the only other time that's going to happen, kind of, is Beast Machines. And I kind of know what happens in Beast Machines.
I don't know anything that happens in Beast Machines, but I don't think I'll enjoy it.
No, I don't think we'll like it as much as Earthsea. Let's say that.
Yeah, no, it's kind of wild. And it's also, like, it's wild that both of us feel this strongly about a series for which neither of us have any nostalgia attached to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, my favorite series before this was Prime, but that's because Prime was the first series, like, Prime was the first series I actually watched, and, like, mm-hmm. how I got into Transformers. I still think it's one of the best series there, but I am also heavily biased because of my exposure to it. I mean, I watched Armada, but that was, like, on and off kind of thing.
Yeah, our animated is in that similar spot for me, where it's, like, this is the one that really connected with me when I watched it. And it's, like, kind of, it was the first one I watched when my brain was more able to absorb information properly.
Right.
Because I watched all of the Unicron trilogy before that, but, like,
yeah, I was a
baby.
You were much more dedicated to the Unicron trilogy than I ever was.
Yeah, I still, maybe I'll eat my words whenever we do, but I still think Cybertron is pretty decent.
Yeah. But yeah, for both of us that, like, feel this strongly about this series without having any nostalgia attached to it really speaks to how good it is.
Yeah.
Which is also part of the reason why I think it might be my favorite now, because I think if I like it that much and I don't have anything else besides its own merit lending itself to why I like it that much, then that really speaks for its quality.
Yeah. Also, Twitch is in the show, and so really,
also Twitch is in the show, and also hashtag. Yeah, and also Twitch is the greatest character that's ever been created. What the fuck?
Literally, so good.
Veer also asks, adding on to Sam's question, when are we getting Earthbang? How about Earthboom? You know,
Earthboom is gonna be season 2 when the Quintessons blow up the planet Vogon style.
Earthbang is going to be the next season, actually, and it's when all of the Cybertronians, Decepticon and Autobot alike, learn how to make peace through the only way they know how.
What is that clanking noise? It sounds like a junkyard in the middle of an earthquake. The Cybertronians, no, they couldn't be.
No.
No.
What is that car doing to that plane?
Oh, boy.
My Star B agenda.
Wow. See, now they should interact in season 2. I wonder what they would get up to.
Yeah. I mean, Star B only works in IDW, but it works really well in IDW.
He's being haunted by Bumblebee's ghost for, like, 90% of it.
Yeah.
So good.
I've read some really good Star B fix, is all I will say. Star B Jack as well. Sidewinder Sabrina asks, with the end of the season, who do you hope to see in the next? Both new and returning. I personally am hoping for the scavengers to show up. I would love to see Tarantulas back again.
Yeah, bring him back. I don't know where he was. There's a question later. I don't think he's dead or whatever, to answer Veer's last question here. I think he just, you know, he's not a fighter. He doesn't like that shit.
I hope he survived.
I'm sure he's out there. They just couldn't get Alfie Allen for another one, you know? Not that they needed it. We could have just shown up. Whatever. It's fine. It's not important. I want some fucking Constructicons. Give them to me.
I mean, the Gestalts are always fun.
I don't want Devastator. I want 3 Constructicons. And I want them to be fucked up about it.
You want Devast?
Yes, I want, like, 2 of them to be dead.
Okay, well, all we need is a Prowl.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want. I want, like, give it to me. But yeah, I want some combiner stuff. Who else? You know, we could say the Quintessons, but we've been saying that for the past 20 minutes or whatever. We want them. I especially want them. You know how long it's been since there's been a fucking on-screen Quintesson? So long.
Yeah.
I think the actual Quintessons, I think, since G1. I don't think there's been actual, for real Quintesson.
On screen. Yeah, that sounds right.
God, I miss them. They have so many faces, and they're funny boys.
I mean, I say it every time, Ironhide.
Oh, I do miss Ironhide. I do think that some scavengers would be fun. I want some, like, off-worlders to, like, show up. Maybe, yeah. You know, maybe... Oh, I know what season 2 should be. Like all of the Earth Autobots and Decepticons are kind of like, all right, we're gonna try to figure this peace thing out, and then guys keep showing up, not knowing the war is over.
Okay, so literally just Rid.
Yes, exactly.
So literally,
but better because they don't suck.
So literally just Kaminus and like all the colonies coming back.
Yeah, there's like some random Decepticons who've been flying out there who detect the Quintus signal, and they head down there, and they gotta figure it out. You know, I think that could be a good structure for season 2, of like Earth becoming kind of a beacon for Cybertronians, because before this, it basically seems like it's just the Cybertronians who were stranded on Earth. After the space bridge blew up, there haven't really been any new ones arriving, so it'd be really cool, and also add more drama to, like, so Cybertron out there, but maybe they're not from Cybertron, maybe they've just been jetting around the universe, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's like any particular character, like most of my favorite characters have shown up is the thing about it. I'm trying to think if there's like anyone.
Overlord.
Shut up. No. Star Saber.
Oh, God, no. Man, you thought Shockwave said some nasty things about the Terrans in his debut episode? Oh, boy. Star Saber's going to arrive with some slurs no one's ever heard before.
And you ask yourself, well, how could it be a slur if no one's ever asked it, has said it before? Well, you see, Star Saber has a very specific way of speaking, and if he says a slur, you know it.
It's all on the intonation.
Christ alive. Okay. In the major fights, how one-sided was each, starting from Optimus and Alita? And of those fights, who would you choose to fight? No is not an option.
The most one-sided... So, okay... they're all fairly one-sided until the Decepticons come in here. The Alita and Optimus one is actually pretty good, because, like...
Yeah.
The numbers game is pretty well.
It's John and Bumblebee versus R.C. Wheeljack and Grimlock, easily.
Yeah. No, see, that one's not as one-sided. So that one's still, you know, Bumblebee can still do some schmovement.
Grimlock and R.C. with a single human?
It's hard, right? But it's not the most one. The most one-sided is Twitch versus Megatron.
I disagree. Because
literally, what do you do?
I disagree, because she can at least outmaneuver him.
That's true.
She wouldn't be able to beat him, but she can stay, like, on a bridge?
Yeah.
Trapped between Arcee and Grimlock?
No, you're right.
With a human? Also, yeah,
but he's not as important.
Also, like, one more thing to worry about. But, like, between Arcee and Grimlock, that's bad enough. And then you have, like, the mad scientist over here throwing bombs your way, and all you have is human, and you're on our bridge?
Yeah, that's pretty bad, actually. Yeah, that one is definitely not the one I would want to fight. I think I could choose to fight the Sharktacons, because I could convince them... to join my side. I could pass a charisma check. Those guys don't seem very bright.
I would probably do Alita and Optimus, because I think they'd be the easiest to hide from.
They certainly have the best, like, a boss fight arena with all there's plenty of hiding places, there's plenty of, like, stage hazards. You can't do shit on a bridge with a dinosaur.
Yeah. Absolutely. For me, that is absolutely the worst of them.
Yeah. But Thrash and Mandroid, Thrash really fucking handed it to Mandroid, I gotta say. He really beat his ass there for a little bit.
Yes. Finally from Sabrina, how many people died in this season finally? Seems to be two.
Yeah, so we have Croft, who of named characters is Croft, who once again died badly. And Brawl, I think.
Oh yeah, Brawl did die. Brawl, I was saying Meridian. Died.
Yeah, Meridian, so three. We have Croft, Meridian, and Brawl. But yeah, I mean, also, if you count it, every Cybertronian other than Twitch for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. And there were others in the arena.
Yeah, but they weren't named characters.
They weren't named.
Brawl was the only one that we like got. Man, they really capital K killed Croft, though, huh?
Like, unambiguous. Like, there is a possibility that Meridian is alive. Brawl's pretty dead.
Brawl's fairly dead.
Is pretty explicitly dead.
Meridian might be a pile of goo now, perhaps. Like, yeah. Crawling around. It's unclear. Croft is dead as fuck.
Yeah, that is extremely explicit. And Tarantulas is MIA.
Yeah, we just don't know what happened to him. He's the only Decepticon that we're just kind of unclear.
Right. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Actually, one more question from Sabrina. Finally, with the end of the season, we should have a relatively firm grasp on a Terran's basic abilities. I feel that each one is supposed to represent a different section of Cybertronian life. Flyers, ground vehicles, animals, both mundane and monstrous, as well as the things associated with Cybertronians, integrated weaponry, special powers, and other things like that. With this in mind, do you think that the multiple boss will gain any strange or interesting new powers, / will we meet new Terrans with unique powers in the future? Well, by that logic, what we're missing is... So, these would be interesting characters to go with our theory. City Formers.
Oh, God.
And having to deal with that, like, Metroplex Daddy Long Dick.
Yeah, get some Titans in here.
Yeah, but also City Speakers.
Yeah, there's no City Speakers, there's no City Formers, there's no Combiners.
What if Hashtag ended up as a City Speaker?
Oh, fuck yes. That would be sick. Yeah, there's a few things missing. Like we said, we're theorizing that Thrash might develop some, like, weird Quintesson kind of affinities in Season 2, perhaps.
Or something. Something went on with him that was fucky.
Something weird happened. Maybe he has, like, a more direct connection to Quintus. And I think there will be more Terrans in the future. Like I said, I hope that the new Terrans are, like... They're kind of their own thing, and they kind of branch off and enter in other parts of the Cybertronian community. Like, I want to see some Decepticon aligned Terrans. I want to see some strictly Autobot aligned Terrans. You know, that'd be cool.
Yeah. And our last question this week is from VR again. Do you think the reason for Tarantulas not answering the call for aid in episode 24 could be because he might have died when he led Ghost away from Nightshade? I sure hope not.
I don't think they would kill Tarantulas off screen. That would suck.
Probably not.
Like, there's no reason to do it. And like I said, it might have come down to they wanted him to talk, but they couldn't get Alfie Allen back or something.
If they had, we would have seen him, I think, in Ghost Base.
Yeah, we would have seen him, like,
Meridian
chopped into pieces.
Yeah, Meridian would have experimented on him.
Yeah, we would have... you don't just, like, say, the Tarantulas died on the way to his home planet, right? Not for a character like that.
Yeah. And that's...
really far away.
That's it for Earthspark. We're going to have... we're going to take next week off because it's Passover. But then we'll have a wrap episode. And damn, feels good. Feels organic. Thank you. Yes. I'm Audrey. You can find me on Tumblr and Twitter and co-host and Blue Sky at Optimum Prime, which is my funny robot internet joke. You can listen to the other podcast I do called Pod of Greed, which is about Yu-Gi-Oh! You can also keep your eyes open for the Kickstarter, which will be coming out very soon for a radio drama that I've been cast in. And I will be sharing that Kickstarter around. So help fund us. That's it for me.
I'm Nero. You can find me on Twitter, Dragon Smoocher, on co-host of Dragon Snuggler, on Tumblr with Clones of the Five at the end of it. Talk Cycles at co-host. Rafe Heidelin at co-host. Do you like Final Fantasy 14? There's a new thing coming out very soon. Terrifyingly soon. Oh god, it's only like 4 months away. I still have to do that benchmark to see if I can make my guy and my characters look nicer. Teen Titans, the new episode of Talk Cycles is up now. Not a whole, you know, season three is weird. There's not a lot of Brother Blood in the Brother Blood season. He's literally in four episodes. It's weird. Anyway, that's it for me.
We've been Prime Cuts. You can follow us on Twitter at Prime Cuts Pod. You can listen to us on noisepaste.xyz along with a bunch of other really good shows. You can join our Discord to ask us questions, which you can also do on Twitter, as well as join us for some fun between season activities.
Rise of the Beasts coming up soon.
And leave us a note telling us that you love us.
I don't even know if we have like reviews anywhere. I don't know. You leave a review somewhere if you want.
We have one review on Apple Podcasts and it's very funny.
Oh right. I love that one. Never mind. Don't leave any other reviews. That one's perfect.
You can rate us though. If you want to give us five stars, you can rate us. But just leave that one review. So close. So close. That is a shape. Until next time, I'm gonna not look a thing like Jesus, but talk like a gentleman, transform and roll out.
I am going to tell our listeners to prepare for the worst, transform and roll out.
Peach.
Peach.